Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone here this morning. It is, let's see, I don't need two of these. I'm going to put this one back there. Before we begin the sermon this morning, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we come before you this morning, and I thank you again for the opportunity to be in your service and to be part of the kingdom work that takes place here at Highland Hills. God, I pray this morning that you would be heard above everything that is sung, above everything that is prayed, and above everything that is spoken. Lord, you would be heard, and that our hearts would be forever changed. God, I pray that we would not leave here this morning the same as we arrived, that every person here would be so affected by the experience of expressing praise and worshiping you, that we would be changed, and that we would change the environment and the culture and the people that we are around, and that you would be glorified as your kingdom grows here in Tullahoma. Lord, I pray that you would set our feet upon your path. I pray that you would set our hands to doing your work as you set our hearts upon you. God, I pray that we would be free to dream kingdom dreams this morning. It's in Christ's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. The question that I have for you this morning to begin is, do you ever feel like that you are too ordinary to do anything great in the kingdom of God? You ever just feel like that as you read through the pages of Scripture, that you see these great men and women that are just extraordinary, that are so strong and so gifted and so talented? When you read books that people write today, and I don't know about you guys, but I read a lot of books. I read, in trying to always be filling up the reservoir with good things to say. I learned early on in preaching that on my own, I will run out of stuff to say very quickly. And I know that you're thinking, well, have happened yet. But I will. I'll run out of stuff to think about and to say very quickly. So as I read these books from people, and I'm thinking, man, they're talented. I mean, they're smart. And I think about it, I see all of these great things being done and ministries happening and buildings being built and all these things. And you know, it doesn't take very long to look around at kingdom work and think, well, no wonder those people are accomplishing those things. They're so much more talented than I am. I mean, these authors and these preachers are so much more gifted in the ways of the kingdom than I am. So no wonder they're accomplishing the things that they are. And there's no way that I could do what they're doing because I'm just not talented like they are. They've got something that I don't have. And so they're going to accomplish things, or they're going to be able to do things because they're so extraordinary and I'm just ordinary. You ever feel that way? You feel that the people that do great things in the kingdom are specially gifted to do so and are specially talented. Well, I'll tell you this. The more that I think about it, the more that I pray about it, the more that I observe it, I observe that they are especially gifted and talented. I see that the people who are doing great things in the kingdom of God, who are writing great books and are starting great ministries and are participating in vast kingdom work, they are talented and gifted. And you know what their talent and their gift is? They are the people who bank on the fact that there is nothing impossible through Jesus Christ. They are talented in the belief that God can accomplish anything. They are talented and gifted in the ways of understanding that it is He who works in us mightily to do His good pleasure. You see, great dreams are birthed within men and women of the kingdom when we believe that intimate communion between us and Jesus is the fuel for kingdom work. You see, when we understand that it is our union with Christ, it is our belief and our trust and our faith in God See, that's the fuel for kingdom work. And until then, we will be ordinary. And the world will go on and the kingdom will expand, but it'll expand through others and other places and other ministries and other churches. But when we are extraordinary in the belief that God accomplishes and there's nothing too great for Him, then we will be free to dream kingdom dreams. This morning, I want to talk to you about the basics of kingdom dreaming. There's going to be four things that I talk about very briefly on each one of them. But I want you to, if you've got a worship bulletin on the back, is a sermon notes I'm going to go through. And there's going to be four things and four scriptures. And they're going to be real easy. And if you can write them down and just think about it. Because these are the basics of kingdom dreaming. If we are going to go through this process that a group of people, you know, once a week and even more, they're meeting together and they're talking about the future of this congregation. But it's going to move beyond the group that's meeting now, and it's going to have to take place within this entire congregation about dreaming kingdom dreams and being the kind of people that can carry them out through the power of God. And we're going to need to know the basics of these things, because like anything else, especially I was talking to Dan this week as he was, you know, we're getting together with the song service and everything. And you know, and this is a particular time of year that's all, you know, basketball is all the rage and you know, March Madness and the tournament and everything. And you know what? You know, somebody's going to win the national championship in basketball. And you know how they're going to do it? By hitting free throws. That's how they're going to win the national championship, because teams that should have won have already lost because they couldn't hit free throws. It's all about, and I was talking to Dan, I said, man, you know, dang those basics. I mean, it's the basics in life that's the difference between winning and losing. And something as little as spending extra time just shooting free throws, the basics of the game. It isn't this offense or that defense or some real spectacular assembly of players. It's basics. We're going to talk about those this morning. The first thing that we've got to understand about kingdom dreaming, about being the kind of people that are extraordinary in the kingdom of God, is that first and foremost, God is able. If we believe that we are unable to do anything in the kingdom, then we're on the right track. But if we stop there with just thinking about ourselves and thinking about our inadequacies, we fall woefully short, because we have to understand that God is able. And as we've read in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, we read that. Let me get to that. I didn't get my slides out here. He says in verse 17, "Ah, sovereign Lord, You've made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You." Nothing is too hard for God. And that's something that, you know, it's easy for us to say that. It's easy for us to say, oh, nothing's too hard for God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's simple to say that the prayer in Ephesians that, you know, about His immeasurable power and love and everything that's... It's easy to say those things, but do we believe that the God who dwells inside of each one of us through His Spirit is able to do anything? There's nothing too great for Him. So as we go through the process of dreaming kingdom dreams, of being the kind of people who move and breathe and live and grow within this community, are we content to do what comes natural? Are we content to do what's right in front of us? Or are we content to dream huge dreams about big buildings that are full of people praising God and are full of ministry reaching out to a community that is lost and hurting? Are we truly able, are we truly willing to believe that God is able, the same God who made the heaven and earth, is within each one of us to do what it is that He wants to do, which brings us to the next thing. Not only is God able, but God is desirous for us to be a part of His kingdom dreams. God desires each one of us. God desires each one of us to have something to do in dreaming in His kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "No eye has seen, or no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, God's already at work in what He wants for us to do. God is already laying the groundwork and putting the plans together. God desires for each one of us to the point that He has already prepared for us to dream what He dreams of. And for us to accomplish within His kingdom what He wants for us to accomplish. You see, God desires for us to do what it is that He is doing. Not only is God able, not only is He does He desire for us to the point that He's laying the groundwork, but God has promised that His plan will take place, that His dreams will be fulfilled. He's promised in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4, He says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." We talked about this on Wednesday night with the teens, and I was amazed at their answers. You know what? This is an easy verse to get real confused, and people will use this to say, God wants to give you whatever you want. He doesn't want to give us whatever He wants. He wants us to have what He wants, and He wants us to desire that as well. See, the kids got it. They understood that if we center our lives and our minds and our dreams on God, then what He wants will become what we want. He will change us. Not that we change Him. Not that I will be a good person and I will do what He says and I will follow the commandments and He'll buy me a new bike. Not that at all. But when I focus on God and my life is all about Him and my career is all about Him and my hopes and my dreams and my family and everything about me is God-centered, then what God wants is what I want, and God's wants are going to happen. See, what God wants is going to take place. His will is going to be done. That's what Jesus prayed. Lord, you know, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see what Jesus is saying. God's will is going to happen whether we are in line with it or not. The good news is that we have the opportunity to get in line with it and to love it. And He's promised us that the dreams that we have, the kingdom dreams, whatever it is that we can come up with within the kingdom to do, He'll make it happen. And not only is He able, and not only does He desire for us to be a part of it, and not only has He promised us, but you see, our God invites us to be a part of it. In John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for it, anything in My name, and I will do it." You know, it's one thing to be wanted. It's a wholly different thing to be invited to it. You know, have you ever been talking with your spouse or someone? I know, you know, Vicki and I go through this, that, you know, hey, you want to go to the store with me? Well, do you want me to go to the store with you? Well, do you want to go? Well, I don't know. Do you want me to go? See, I particularly don't like going to Walmart, but I love it when my wife wants to be with me. Because a lot of times I frustrate her to the point where she's just like, you know what? I'm going to be over here, and I would like for you to stay over there. But oh, what a beautiful time it is when she really wants me around. You know, and we love that, don't we? When people want us there, not just that they want, but they go through the trouble of calling on our presence at something or an event. I mean, sure, you're welcome at my home anytime you stop by, but isn't it special when someone picks up the phone and says, hey, would you come over here? Would you please come and be with me in what I am doing and where I am going and where I am? And Jesus invites us. It's not good enough for Him that He's able. It's not good enough for Him that He wants and that He promises. But then He goes the step further and says, I want you to do what I'm doing. I want you a part of this. You're invited here. How does that make you feel to know that the dreams that God has for His kingdom, He is inviting us to be a part of? Not just distant and saying, oh, I want that for you, and I've promised it for you, but actually going to us and inviting us to be a part of it. But you see, there's problems that we run into. Oh, there's all, preacher's always got a problem for you. Can't just have the 4 points and say, this is good stuff. But there's always a reason why this isn't happening. There's always a roadblock to the to why kingdom dreams don't just flourish and they're not big and we're not out there doing them. And it's because the basics aren't necessarily the problem all the time. You see, because there's these overarching principles that hold us, imprison us, and keep us from allowing those basics to flow through us. Because not only do we need to know the basics of kingdom dreaming, but the principles as well, what holds us back. You see, the reason that it doesn't happen so often that we dream kingdom dreams, that we go and accomplish kingdom accomplishments, is because that we're stuck. And the first principle that I want you to understand that unlocks the basics is that God commands us to step out of our comfort zone. When it comes to dreaming a kingdom dream and focusing on God, more often than not, we are to get outside of the box of comfort that we have manufactured for ourselves. Look at the life of Abraham. And we'll go through these quickly, but in Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, a verse that we're all familiar with and we could probably quote it, God says, I've got a dream for you, Abraham. I've got a dream not only for you, but I've got a dream for my kingdom. My dream is that there would be a nation of people. My dream is that the world would be blessed by my presence among a specific people, that although there's always seems to be people that seek other gods, that manufacture gods and do evil things, the world has that since the fall, but I want a people set apart unto me that there will at least always be some people who know me, Yahweh, the creator of all you see and know. And Abraham, that's my dream. You want to be a part of that dream? Well, sure, God, I'd love to. I tell you what, you go. You leave your family, your father's house. You leave your land. You leave the comfort of what you've always known. If you will step out of this comfort zone, Abraham, you will start to see my dream come true. It always entails stepping out of a comfort zone. And how willing to do that are we? Because you see, if we stay within our zone of comfort, if I stay within my father's house, if I stay within my father's people, if I stay within my father's finances and all of those things, if I stay in my comfort zone where I'm comfortable and I'm talented, all that, then I can claim the results of whatever it is that I'm doing. Because I'm good at that, right? It comes natural to me here and wherever I am. You see, if we step out of that, then the victory is only the victory truly does only belong to God. There's only one way to absolutely know that God is at work, and that is to get outside of where it is that we're comfortable working. Because not only can we claim those victories inside of our comfort zone, but we also claim the limitations of that. We're also bound by the limitedness of that particular box and place and time and opportunities. But as soon as we get out of that, God can truly work. Not only does He command us to step out of our comfort zone, but it is the principle we have to understand is that God puts His dreams in our hearts. You've heard the saying, it's not you, it's me. Well, it really isn't our dream, it's God's. I mean, look at the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. All Joseph said is, hey guys, I had this dream. I had a dream that I was, we were reaping, gathering all these sheaves, and I was bundling mine up and yours all bowed down to me. I mean, that wasn't something that he concocted on his own. That was what God especially gave him the dream that he would be this exalted ruler, the second in command, that he would be bowed down and served by his family and so many others. He didn't come up with that. God gave that to him. And what happens is that when it's truly God's dream, when it's truly what God wants for us, all we have to do is what Joseph did. Think about the life of Joseph. What did he do to make that dream happen? First of all, he sat down and he came up with a plan, a structure to how he's going to institute the way in which you get to the plane. So, okay, well, if my family's going to bow down to me somehow, then that means I've got to be in a position of power. So what I'm going to do is I'm really going to study hard and I'm going to keep my nose clean so that I can be a great political candidate and all these things. And I'm going to systematically go about the process of getting into power so that my family will bow down to me, right? All he did was express the dream out loud. And live the way God, and live a righteous life the way God wanted him to live. He always just did what God called on him to do. And the dream, God's dream, took care of itself. I mean, he basically fell into it, didn't he? It just sort of happened around him as he lived the life that God called him to live. Not only does he command to get out of our comfort zone, not only does he put the dream in our heart, but God will allow us to fail under our own power. We have but to look at the life of Moses in Exodus 2, 11 through 15. The great sermon. You've all heard the sermon where Moses is there and he's trying to institute. I mean, it was God's plan for him to deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh. No doubt about it. God gave him that dream. But what does it say there in Exodus chapter 2? It says that he looked this way and he looked that way. And we've all heard that sermon since we were little. He looked every which way but up, didn't he? He tried so hard to fulfill the plan of God in his own strength that God allowed him to fail in that endeavor. And you see, the problem is that when we fail so often, that's it. Well, it's obviously not God's plan. It's obviously not his will that we do this because I failed. Look at me go. And so we'll go on to something else. It's so difficult to look and say, well, I tried to do that in my power. I tried to do that on my terms. But see, God's plan, we have to go back to basics and realize God's able. He wants it. He invites us to be a part of it. He's made these promises. So why is it not happening? Well, it's probably because I tried in my strength, so I didn't look up enough. Not only does he command us to step out of our comfort zone, he puts the dreams in our hearts and he allows us to fail under our own strength. You see, we say that, if I'd have just planned better, if I'd have just, if I'd have just got up a little bit earlier, if I'd have just got better people around me, if I'd have just got them people to do what it is that I knew they were supposed to do. Oh, maybe if I'd have prayed more. Maybe if I'd have treated people better. Maybe if people saw more of Christ in me. Oh man, maybe then God's plan would take place. You see, the last principle that I want to talk about is that God teaches us to love the dream giver more than the dream. He teaches us to love Him more than His plan. Because when we're loving the dream giver, then we're following Him. It's about God. It isn't about the dream. It's about the planner. It isn't about the plan. See, David teaches us that in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 11. You see, when David was anointed as king over Israel, the next 10 years he dodged the spear of Saul. I mean, it was a tough time. He's hiding. He's a refugee. He's in caves. It's not a good time. And he finally gets Saul cornered. And he's got him right there, and he can kill him and assume the throne that's rightfully his. What does he say? He spares his life for the second time. He says, I will not stretch out my hand against God's anointing. You see, David loved God more than he loved being king. See, David loved the dream giver more than he loved the dream of being king over all of Israel. He said, it might be God's plan, but it won't take place this way. It's never okay to get the right results for to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. It's never okay to try to implement God's plan outside of God's will. David understood this. And he knew that nothing was more important than God. Even though he was given, even though he was promised, even though he knew he was anointed king, he said, not like this. When we have a goal, a dream, when we have desires for this congregation, are there boundaries that won't be crossed because we love God more than we love the success, more than we love the vision, more than we love the accolades, more than we love the power, because that is when God's plan will truly take place in our life. In closing, turn with me to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, we read that, and I used this a few weeks ago, and whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing that I desire besides you. Remember that? Well, verse 28, David says, but as for me, it's good to be near to God. As for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds. You see right there, church, therein lies the plan of God, the dream of our God for this church. His dream, his kingdom dream for us is to be near him, is to want more than anything else in the world to be near him. Then, and only then, will great and wondrous ministries take place here. Will growth happen so profound that we won't know what to do with all of the people that are drawn to the lifted up and exalted and glorified Christ? Is it our dream to be near to God? Because he is able for us to be near him. He desires for us to be near him. He has promised that as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And we are invited to do so. This morning, if you would like to be more near to God, if you would like to be closer to him, if you'd like to have a relationship with him more so than you've ever had, know that you were invited to do that. You can confess his name. You can put him on in baptism. And you can have the true and living God dwelling in you, in your heart, and in your mind. And you can truly be near to God as together we stand and as we sing.